our live broadcast for the Chicago Blackhawks take on the Colorado Avalanche, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Make Bedford Park the new home for your business. And sponsored by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. All right, now, here's the man of the hour, Stan Bowman, who is still to my eye. Now, it's getting very, very close here, Stan, but I still think the greatest general manager in sports history, certainly Chicago sports history. But now you got this this young upstart, this Theo Epstein, and he seems to have done a few things.
He's doing it right.
Now, here's one thing I want to just say to you right now. Now, this Theo Epstein, he did such a nice job in Boston, and then he left Boston and came to Chicago, and thank God he did, and you know, God bless him for everything he has done. But I don't want you thinking that you can go and leave this town now and go somewhere else and have to be, oh, I got to go in the Hall of Fame now like Theo because I'm going to do this twice.
Don't get any ideas.
Yeah,
Stan.
Don't get any ideas.
I need you here.
No,
right.
I'm not going anywhere. I love it here. But congrats to Theo and the whole organization. It's incredible, you know, living here in Chicago. I've been here for 20 years, so... You know, I've come to love the Cubs, and it's it was a really special night, I'm sure, for lifelong Cub fans, I can only imagine. But just for me, it was a blast watching that, and it wasn't easy. And, we've been through that on our side. It's hard to win. It's really, really hard to win. People don't realize how difficult it is, and they had an incredible season, you know, starting off the way they did, and they were really the team to beat all year. And it's hard to finally close that out. So many times... You have a great season and you win a round or two, but you can't win the whole thing. So hats off to them. They deserved it. They were the best team.
And you heard even the players say that was harder than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Harder than I thought. Even though best team in baseball, the expectation was there. They knew they could do it, and still they said, wow.
Right.
Getting through it.
Well, and being down 3-1, right? Although I think your organization has seen that before. Right?
Well, I mean, I think what you have to do, and it's such a cliche, but you really can't focus on you winning the three games. You got to just win that next game. And once you win one game, you start to get a little bit of confidence. The other team starts to get a little bit edgy because, you know, they realize that their chances are going down as the games go along. And
They didn't hold them down.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was just unstoppable. But even within that game last night, I mean, they're leading the whole time until all of a sudden, you know, you get to the eighth inning and you get your closer there and they come back and, you know, they showed some resiliency, obviously, to be able to find a way to bring it together and get the victory.
How are we feeling about that? Chicago, you know, sort of rising tide raises all ships here. And when championships, I think, kind of breed championships in some respect. And there's no question that the way that Theo and Judd have organized this team around building out of the farm system, positive recruitment, all that. That's really out of the playbook of the Blackhawks for the last decade.
Well, that's certainly the way we tried to do it, and it worked for us. And it's not easy to do because you have to have good people working for you and scouts, but you have to have some good fortune as well. I mean, not everybody that you pick is going to turn out, but I think they've done a great job. I mean, you look at the players they brought in, they're all very, very young. I mean, the core of that team, they're going to be here for a long time. So I think that's the exciting thing for fans is knowing that they've got hopefully a number of great seasons ahead of them.
And there are some parallels you can draw from this year's Cubs team to your Hawks team this year. I mean, you have your Coors, your Hossa, your Taves, and the Cubs have their young guys, the Javi Baez, the Wilson Contreras, but then you mix them in with a core of Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, who's younger, but he's a leader on that team. I mean, is that a fair assessment? And how so far is this season has the mix between the veterans and your young guys like Hartman and Mott been going so far?
Yeah, there is definitely a comparison there, and I think it's really hard to win in sports if you just have all of one thing. If you have a bunch of veterans or just a bunch of young guys, you need that combination. You need the right combination. And this year we do have more younger players than we've had in the past. We've got six rookies on our roster. And I've been very happy with the way they've started the season. I think as a young player, what you want to do is just become a regular in the NHL. You want to just earn that spot and know that you're going to be here for the whole season. You're not going to be sent to the minors. So I think they're trying to just, keep their game steady. And I think as we go along, they're getting a little bit more comfortable. It's 1 month into the season, and we're starting to see some of them break out a little bit. The other night, Tyler Mott had a beautiful goal, individual effort, and that was something that we haven't seen a lot of yet from Tyler. But, you know, he scored 33 goals last year at Michigan. He was the best goal scorer in college hockey. And So I think there's more to his game to come out, and I think
is college hockey a better? I guess this is the question: is college hockey getting better as a recruiting platform than necessarily juniors or those Canadian junior systems?
Well, I think it's on the rise. It's the highest number of players in the NHL coming from college right now. I think it's up to about 34%, and it was lower than that certainly 10 years ago. And I think the trend is shifting a little bit that way. And
it's cool because that'll help the college game significantly, the way that college football, has been helped by.
Absolutely.
They'll make that an interesting – the Frozen Four and all of that can start to become something.
Yeah. We're hosting that here in Chicago this year, which is an exciting thing.
And the draft here as well.
That's right. So there's a lot of good things coming for hockey fans that are not just Blackhawks fans, but the college thing, which will be the first weekend in April, and the draft, like you said, in June. So the hockey game in college is really – it's a little bit different than the junior. The juniors are a little bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
They're 16 to 20, and the college players, they tend to go in a little bit older.
So 19 to 22, 23.
Yeah, exactly. So they're a little more polished maybe, and the caliber of hockey is very, very good.
What do you look for when you have to – and you find these kids who are 18, 19 years older, you start looking at them. We have heard, when they're maybe even younger than that, 16, 17 years old, and they're coming wherever they happen to be, in Canada, Europe, or here in the North, the United States. What are you looking for in those kids? What do you try to find that you know that they're going to be able to handle the rigors of NHL life?
Well, I think, the first thing, the reason that it's more of an art than it is a science is because you have to do a lot of projecting. So you're looking at these kids that are 16 or 17, and but you're trying to figure out what's he going to be when he's 23, because they're going to have to play in the hardest league in the world with the best athletes in the world. So they may be really good in where they are right now, but is that going to translate? So some of the things are obvious, right? You have, is the guy have good skills? Can he skate? Does he have a good shot? But when you look beyond that, you have to look at some of their instincts, and that's harder to really put a definition on, but it's sort of like you know it when you see it.
Right.
And if you watch enough hockey and you watch sort of as the play is developing what this guy's doing, and you watch our team play and you sort of know the good players, you can kind of see what they're going to do next, and they tend to do it. It's the right
They create
play.
Space around themselves, which is one of the most amazing things. If you start to look for that, that's a really interesting, like when I started as a kid watching football, my dad would say, always watch the line, watch the line, watch the line. And then I'm like, I can't watch the line. Where's the ball? Right? But he goes, you're going to see everything develop there. I think the same thing, when you're watching a hockey player now, watch Patrick Kane, I think, is the best maybe that ever lived in creating space around himself.
Yeah.
Because people can't quite get to the puck wherever it is. And Artemi Panarin is the same animal. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to watch. And I mean, just imagine that must be the eye that a lot of – obviously, it's instinctive for guys in your business, but, I mean, for average hockey fans, it's something to really think about.
They have incredible instincts. They seem to know where everyone is around them without having to necessarily look and check off where they are. So they have good perception. The other thing that I will say for people that haven't had a chance, if you ever get a chance to go watch a hockey game from ice level, even if it's just maybe in the warm-ups, the game is so much different when you're down on the ice than when you're standing up in the stands. It looks much, much easier. And I think the really good players.
Yes, it looks much easier up there than it
does.
Because I'm
feeling it down on the ice, right?
Yes. And I've had the great, great pleasure to sit on the ice a number of times here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always in the corner where there's a lot of checking. Mm-hmm. And oh my God.
The physicality of it.
Yeah, the sound, and these guys, and they kind of laugh their way through it if they're not getting hurt.
It scares me to death sometimes.
But you also get to see how fast the puck is moving.
Oh, yeah.
How fast, and how they have an instinct. It's sort of like in baseball, how quick you have to make the decision. Are you going to swing at the pitch or not? When you go to a baseball game and you're standing behind the plate, that pitch is coming so fast that it looks easy on TV to be able to hit it. But they have a fraction of a second to make that decision. It's the same thing in hockey. So when you have the puck and the guy is coming from this side and this side, you got to figure out what you're going to do with it. And the really talented players are the ones that sort of know ahead of time what their next play is. And that's why they make it look very easy. When you watch Patrick Kane, he just kind of dances around with the puck, and it looks really easy. But there's a reason nobody else really does that. It's because it's really hard to do it.
Yes, I think that's correct. You know, that's correct. I mean, you know, and Dennis Savard, who I think was, before Patrick Kane, the greatest guy I ever saw do that. Yeah, you know, the most, at least Chicago Blackhawk I ever saw do it. And now when you hear Dennis Savard talk about Patrick Kane, mm-hmm. and you know, from a guy who knows exactly what it's like to have mm-hmm. to do that, and for him to marvel at what we're watching here again, you know, now that, you know, listen, God bless the Cubs. I'm glad. I'm so glad this is over, because I could not stand one. I think I could have died last
night.
The anxiety of the whole thing. Oh. And now it's done. It's in the bank. I feel great about it. I'm going to miss it, but it's time now to focus on, and you know, what's happening here. And the team seems to be gelling, despite the fact you've got six rookies. The team is gelling, and Corey Crawford's having a great season already.
I think that's the one thing that we haven't mentioned yet, but Corey's probably been the biggest reason we've sort of started to come together and had some success. He's been excellent all year long, and we won a few games in the middle of October there where we really didn't deserve to win them. We didn't play that well, but we got some confidence because Corey sort of stole the game for us. And mm-hmm. you need that early in the year when your team can win some games when you don't play your best, and you feel better, obviously, after a game when you've won it, even if you didn't play that well, and it gives you that confidence. And, you know, looking at Corey, he's been really solid the last two or three seasons, and, you know, he's continued on this year that same way.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be very exciting, as it always is here at the United Center, because, like the Cubs, you know, you've got a core of players on the Blackhawks that are just incredible to watch, and your coaches seem to have a way of communicating with the young. I don't know if it's when they look at, they're just afraid when they look at Q, and they just there's like an instinctive fear that kicks in, and I'm sure Q doesn't know any of their names yet, right? Isn't that kind of his whole kind of, yeah, hey,
you over there,
yeah, the Russian kid.
Yeah.
he does have that look. You can see it even on television. So we're like, all right, whatever you're saying, man, I'm doing. I totally get that.
But that's like, wait till Dad gets home when he starts talking to you. But it seems like the coaches underneath him seem to have really done a nice job getting these kids.
Absolutely. And that, you need your head coach and your assistants to really play a role when you have these younger players that they don't know what it's like to be an NHL player, and you have to kind of spend more time guiding them, different than when you have a bunch of veterans. So the coaches have done a very good job early in the season here.
Yeah.
And the Hawks are just exuding class all the time, too. And I've noticed your players, even after the Cubs won, that reaching out, mm-hmm. you know, congratulating their guys over on the north side. They probably know them personally. But it's such a class move. We saw Rocky Wirtz in the sports cast, Kevin.
And they wore jerseys on the road trip.
That was fun.
Getting on the plane.
Yeah,
so
we did that on our
cool
way to New
to
Jersey.
See.
And, well,
love
we're all
that.
Really excited. I mean, they're huge sports fans, and you know, I think like everyone, they've been captured by the
and they've been at the games in their off days,
yep.
and
mm-hmm.
featured. And there's a cousin kind of relationship between these two franchises,
there is.
Absolutely,
there is.
Because of, you know, John McDonough and Jay Blunk mm-hmm. came over from the Cubs.
That's right.
To here, and there's always been, you know, this is a you know, the Wirtz family has, and I think the Wirtz and the Ricketts family get along pretty well. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty cool. It's a very great association.
It is.
You know, all
two
I want,
great teams.
Two great teams, and you know, it turns out GN was the curse after 90 years.
Oh, no,
I think that's
don't
what we
say
just,
that.
I think that's what we just found out. Yep, I got him here, huh? Okay.
I thought it was a Greek American and a goat, but all right,
yeah, so,
that's over now.
Because you can wear it either
people.
Way. Then you can wear it as a GN or as the Greek American and a goat. She has a goat, by the way, as a pet.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't realize that.
No, it's not well known, but they're great
right.
animals.
Stan Bowman, thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Stan.
Good luck
Thanks,
tonight.
Bro.
Good luck. As we'll talk to you next month, but as we head in and the circus trip, I used to fear the circus trip, and I think it's a really great sort of coalescent moment for the team now.
It is,
and they played so great last year. I'm looking for great things
it's
here.
Become a tradition, and we're looking forward to it.